our study this afternoon be asking the question and answering the question, what will our daily lives be like? I'll especially be looking at three subjects, those of rest, sleep, and work, as treated by Randy Alcorn, and looking at several passages of Scripture. Some of you may know a book by the Puritan pastor named Richard Baxter. It's called The Saint's Everlasting Rest. It's actually a very popular, very influential book by this Puritan pastor. Alcorn writes about that Baxter marveled that we don't set aside everything else to consider heaven and make sure we are going there. But somehow heaven hasn't captured our imagination or shaped our lives. Part of Baxter's purpose is to, much like Alcorn, he has the idea of saying, this is heaven, this is what is promised to us, and make every effort to enter into that rest. So the question that Alcorn asks is, will we rest? The question comes up, I think, because of some of the concepts of how sin has affected us physically and humanly. We get tired, and some of the effects of that, or some of the source of that, is because of the fall, because of how sin has affected the world around us. We're going to answer this, much like we have in some of our times past, by looking back first to the way God created mankind, and then looking at some of the promises of Scripture about the future that will help us to understand. And since we've done this several times with other subjects, I'm going to invite you to help out in this evaluation. So think back to Adam and Eve before sin entered the world, and make application, or where does it describe rest in the Garden of Eden?
Seventh day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. So we have two things that have been mentioned, the Sabbath rest, or the seventh day rest, that God himself entered into. I'll ask those under 15 years of age. So, Renee, I'm going to ask a question to those your age. Did God get tired? Is that why he needed to rest? God did not get tired. Why did God not get tired? You're right in that, but
because he's righteous.
Because he's God. He doesn't get tired, does he? So God did not get tired because of the work he did. His rest was different than our rest. But there was an evening and morning of the first day and the second day and so on, and such that there's we assume a rhythm of day, night, that has awake, work, and sleep that takes place. So and we also know that Adam was caused to fall into a deep sleep when what happened? It says, before sin entered the world. Minor surgery. He got married. So sleep was not evil, right? Sleep was not as a result of the fall. I would even say that being tired is not necessarily a result of the fall. Why would I say that?
would you rather? I mean, other than God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So work is not evil. Work came before the fall. Physical labor makes you tired. That's part of the way God made us and designed the world.
Jesus himself wearied on his 32 the well, sat there. He was wearied from the journey.
Very good. That's a good example of someone who himself was not sinful. He lived in a world that was corrupted by sin, and because of that, there may be certain things, but certainly walking and traveling are wearisome, and not sinfully so. So Jesus too was tired. So being tired is not necessarily sinful. The way the world is can contribute to that, and because of to use the analogy of thorns and thistles, it's harder to grow your produce. You have to work harder, and so there's a tiredness that comes of that. There's a tiredness that comes from sickness that is a result of sin, and other things like that. But tiredness in and of itself is not sinful. So there was rest in the Garden of Eden, and it's natural to answer this question: yes, there will be rest in heaven as well. What do we know about heaven that suggests that we will rest there as well?
Sabbath rest we're looking forward to.
Yes, I have a little bit different perspective. I mean, but,
sure. Yeah.
I agree. Of course, there's rest. I never thought of it as a physical rest goal. I feel like if you get tired, isn't that a breaking down of the muscles and a wearing out of your body?
Mm.
Isn't that... I think of the perfect body, I guess. If I think it's more than I can... God says, I don't know. When I think of a perfect body, I think that would not be perfect. Do you know what I mean? Of course, maybe I'm going too far with the perfect body.
That's possible. It's were you gonna?
I was gonna say you still expend energy, but in perfected body, it'll just be a whole lot more efficient. It won't be. It's not necessarily breaking down of muscles. I mean, the laws of thermodynamics will probably still apply. So you gotta take energy in and put energy out. Yeah.
But
your efficiency will be really good.
When you talk about energy, I mean, how does the soul function? What energy is that? I mean, there's a spiritual nature that we have no idea.
Thermodynamics in heaven.
I mean, but I have another thought on that. There will be no night in Revelation. So this idea of sleeping still doesn't seem so obvious to me, I guess.
That is a good question, and a couple of weeks ago we looked at that passage and we answered that by saying that that passage may be metaphorical, that it may not be actual day and night, that and that if there was there is a continued sun, moon, and stars in heaven that are described that are observable only because there is night. So it's not clear that there will actually be no night. But just to tease that out just a little bit more, if you think of a perfect body, does that mean that your body can accomplish every physical feat that you want to accomplish?
Not necessarily infinite strength. I guess I always thought of getting wearied down though as it's not an actual destroying of the body. It's not actually it's not part of your body falling apart needing to be rebuilt.
Huh? Are we going to have to go to use the restroom in the
house? No, I was just thinking, like, I don't know if perfection necessitates. I don't know. I mean, just because it breaks down, it's just how, I mean, if that's how God built it to do, then that doesn't mean that it's not perfect. So it just means that's how He created it to function.
If you need energy to move, then energy is not infinite.
But
well, I'm inclined in this direction as Jean is describing, to say that this is the way God has made the human body, that we do consume, we eat so that we can have energy to do things, and that we do get tired because of that, but it's not a sinful tired, it's not a breaking down type of tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, along those lines of, like, why do we eat, to link it with why do we sleep, well, in heaven we won't be hungry. So I feel like that still changes the very principle of our hunger right now is changed. Therefore, perhaps the very principle of our sleep is changed as well. I mean, obviously, there is no being.
But in Revelation 14, it writes, I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. So, that heaven is a place of rest, that, you know, there is no tilling of the ground like in the garden. So there are differences, I think, with the original garden. But God knew what was coming after the garden. So I think there's some comparisons, but there are some, I think, that are not.
Yeah.
It's just a new idea. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to sleep.
I think Eden would be different from heaven, though.
I would agree with that,
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Good. Well, it's clear you've been listening all along. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, we're always frustrated with sleep, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's time to go to bed. I have to go to bed because I got to get up. But I didn't complete this, didn't complete that. I want to enjoy this thing before the day is over, but now that's harder to do, or I'm going to have to get less sleep if I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You wake up tired the next morning, you didn't get enough sleep, children have put you behind for an eternity. It's a constant frustration that there is. So it's hard to think of sleep really in a fully positive way, because it's either getting in the way, or you're not getting enough, or...
That's right.
And you even have kids, you know, you try getting them to take a nap, and they're like screaming at you, no, I don't want to take a nap. It is kind of hard for me to think of sleep. Like, I was hoping to be done with that.
That's how I feel right now.
Well, we can answer that in heaven there will be rest. We could say there will be rest because I've been in Hebrews all day today, so Hebrews 4 says, strive to enter that rest. And he's talking about heaven. So we strive to enter that rest, and the passage that Randy read in Revelation says that the blessing is that we will have rest. There is a very strong spiritual component to that the struggles that we face right now are struggles against sin, And because of that, the rest in Christ, the completed work, and then our complete sanctification, there will be rest from all of those trials and temptations. What this study has prompted, though, is to make sure that we don't think of heaven just as a spiritual state. We're not Platonic in the sense that we're going to be disembodied spirits. We will be embodied spirits. We'll be resurrected bodies, and that presses on us some questions like this about rest and sleep. What will that look like? I'm inclined to look at God's design of mankind as being instructive for heaven. But you're right in saying that we're not just going back to Eden. We're going on to heaven, and there's progression there, not regression. So we're going on to heaven, but to think of what physically does that mean? And so I don't think any of the questions or any of these things are outside of the box. The idea of always being awake or is fine. I'm inclined to think that God has made us physical, and that there's something good about sleep, and that there's a blessing in that. So that heaven will have physical rest as well as sleep. We'll have work too, but I'm going to have to save that for next week. Just what you wanted to hear. There's going to be work in heaven. There is, but you can think about it this week and apply yourselves like we have right here.
I have two thoughts on the work and the sleep combined, because one of the reasons I thought work was so wonderful in heaven is because you don't get tired doing it.
Uh-huh. So you think we will work in heaven, but we won't get tired doing it.
So it doesn't matter how much it is or what you're set out to do. It's just, there it is. You do it. That was one of the reasons. It confused me.
Yeah.
Regarding that, there should be no night there. If you look a couple verses earlier, and the city show had no need of the sun. And then you look back at the no at night, it says the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. So even if it's not metaphorical, you talk about the light in the city, not necessarily all around the heaven. It could be the city that never sleeps.
And then
we'll
get there. Look for all of you in the face.
I'm not sleeping.
I'd be like, go take a nap. I'm going to go do a bunch of work. Now I get tired.
We'll all give you a big holy high five. We'll be very happy to find that out.
We're still digging that.
Yeah.
One other thought. We've been studying heaven for a while, and I think it's easy to start thinking about these metaphorical or even allegorical ideas and themes that run through, and trying to extrapolate from the garden, principles or things that we might see extended. But heaven is not all that there is. There's also a place of hell. Mm. And while it's not a mirror image of heaven, there is a certain level of antithesis to the idea of hell. So it strikes me that people living in a place where they can never be satisfied, where their rest is never restful, that their labors are full of toil and torment, where there is smoke that is always rising because something's always burning. It has a sense in which an intense level of activity is taking place, but in a wholly unfulfilling sort of way. And just as it's hard to try to work out all the particulars about heaven, you should remember that there's more than one place that people will end up, and that
that's a good point.
They will experience hell in the richest, fullest possible way. hell is a very sensual place, just like heaven. So it's a little hard to the idea of the flame that never stops burning. So you know, I dismiss all this thermo talk as useless. there's some sort of endless supply of fuel that exists, and so it's good to remember there's a contrast, and it's not just an extension. It's not isolated, but there's a really complex way all this has to be worked out.
Very good. On that note, I'll invite you to bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that in Christ we have a promise of everlasting rest. And God, it's been fun for us to think of the beauties of that and try to get our minds around that. It's also been sobering for us to be reminded that there is an everlasting hell as well. God, thank you that you have freed us from that place and that condition, and instead given us the blessing of rest, a rest that we have now and that we will have for eternity. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us that call to strive to enter into that rest and make the promises of heaven be such that draw us onward in our calling after Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.